That's right. Erev Tov. So tonight is Musar night. Every night should be Musar night, but tonight is on our roster. It is Musar night. Just to bring everybody up to speed, I think. Just give me one moment.
What if I got going last time?
You remember where we were?
That? No. I don't know the topic of Yagor. We were in the middle of it.
I think we finished the Hada'aga. Yeah, we're up to Ot Tetzayin. On page Tet, last paragraph on page Tet. So we were speaking about the kinds or the primary components of Teshuvah. Last thing we spoke about was the Yagon, the sorrow, the anguish that a person should feel for having rebelled against Hashem. Now we're going to talk about something else. Ha'ikar ha'chamishi ha'de'aga, worry. Now in general, Rabbeinu Yonah is going to address, worry is not a good thing in Avodat Hashem. If you look in Sefer Ochot Tzadikim, worry is something that's, it's a bad midah, and worry is a midah that constitutes a lack of emunah bitachon ba'kadosh baruch hu, because there are people who are constantly worried, and that shows that they don't, you know, to a certain extent, they feel that maybe Hashem is not running the world as much as we know that He does. Because if you're worried, that why are you worried? You know, Hashem is running the world anyway. The only time the Gemara says, and Rabbi Yonah is going to bring the pasuk, that worry, not anxiety, but just being worried or concern, is a good thing, is by avodat Hashem. More specifically, about a person's avonot. Says the Rabbi Yonah, yeah. I can't hear you. I have to put on my glasses. Go ahead.
I know there's two opinions on, like...
By the way, you know there's scientifically that's proven that you hear better when you were... If a person has vision problems, then you have to... Anyway, okay, go ahead.
What does that
yeah.
have to do?
Huh? What?
What does that have to do with anything?
Do you know... You know how many... I read in the... I don't remember which journal. I read medical journals, but I read that during COVID... people had a lot of communication problems because a lot of people were wearing masks. Usually communication has two parts to it, hearing and seeing. Now, when you listen to a person, you also read his lips. You read the lip movement. When you don't read the lips, you're only at half communication. You're only at 50% capacity of your communication. That's why when people wear masks, even though you can hear them, even though they're audible, but it's hard, much harder to communicate. It's a whole study. Anyway, they are linked.
So I know there's like two opinions on like how like Hashem runs the world. Is it like Hashem runs every single detail of the world, or is it Hashem like lets nature takes its course and then he interferes when he wants to in certain situations?
So that's exactly the second approach that you said is how Avodah Zarah started.
What?
The Rambam writes that's exactly that thought process was the underpinnings of Avodah Zarah, which means Dor Enosh, Avodah Zarah started, like the Pasuk says, Az v'chal likro b'shem Hashem, that people started referring to other things in the world as Avodah Zarah. What happened? The Rambam explains in Perek Aleph Minchot Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah didn't just pop into the world. You think people are stupid? Three generations after the world was created, people see Adam HaRishon was still alive. He passed away at 9:30. People saw him. People saw the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And people knew that Hashem was in the world. So how did Avodah Zarah start? So Rambam explains that people looked at HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally so great, and He created the whole world and everything in the world, but He's too great to stay here. Meaning, Hashem is too great and too busy to be dealing with all the fine details of all these little... So what did He do? Hashem created the world. Hashem did the big things, and even the minutia. And then afterwards, what did He do? He went back to Shamayim, and then He delegated power over certain things to the sun, moon, stars, and stuff. Ooh, and then what? Oh, if He delegated power, that means that the sun, moon, and the stars also have power. And then maybe He delegated some of the power later on. They said, well, it evolved from sun, moon, and stars to, you know, trees, rocks, statues, stuff like that. That's how Avodah Zarah started. The Rambam explains that not to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is intimately involved, not only in the macro of this world, but even in the micro, in the minutia of Olam Hazeh, every single fine detail. And not to believe that is Avodah Zarah, it's Kfira. And not only that, but the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to simultaneously deal with all the macro and the universe and the galaxies and all the huge things while dealing with little me and my little problems and my little, you know, who knows what issues, that only serves to increase the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my eyes. You understand? Because us, human beings, have a very hard time micromanaging. You know, also scientifically, micromanaging makes you much less productive. You know that. People are good at bigger tasks, and that's why in any job, any line of business, can you imagine one person, right? He's the salesperson, he's the delivery man, and he also stocks the bathroom, and he also, it doesn't work like that. You have to delegate. That's how it works for Basar Vadam. The greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he can be everywhere at all times, big and small, not being inhibited by the constraints of time and space. That's the Gadlut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to answer your question, don't go there, because that's Avodah Zarah.
So the second approach isn't true?
Correct.
I believe you, and that sounds better, but there are rabbis that believe that approach, I think.
Not in my religion. Anyway, but no, I'll tell you, that's... look at the Rambam. That's Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't delegate anything. Hashem is always there. That's what we call. You ever heard the term Hashgacha Pratit? One second. Malachim are those who do Kadosh Baruch Hu sends angels on missions. Guess what? Hashem sends human beings on missions as well. Harbe Shluchim LaMakom. We're all, to a certain extent, you know, messengers. Agents of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem sent us here on a mission to do certain things, right? When you give tzedakah to an ani, now the ani has money. What did Hashem just use you for? Hashem used you as a shaliach to give money to this ani who needed it. So many, many times Hashem uses us through his mitzvot as shluchim of his, which is such a tremendous zechut. So we kind of take on the form of malachim, that just like malachim, we're even better than malachim, because the Gemara says, in malach echad, osesh shtei shlichut, shlichuyot. It's a Gemara in Masechet Metzi'ah in the seventh perek, that one malach cannot do two different missions. He's sent on one mission at a time. Finishes one mission, sometimes they disappear, meaning die, meaning they're done. Sometimes they come back for more missions. Human beings are able to perform multiple missions, multiple tasks for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the same time. That's in that way, we have a one-up over the malachim. It's a big zach.
Yeah, but the malachim were I guess for lack of a word, they're on the king's personal staff. Mm-hmm. We're meaning they're...
Where do you think you came from? No. Where do you think your neshama Torah came from? What do you think, you're from Texas? Hello, your neshama is from Chilek Eloah Mimal, right under the Kisei HaKavod. You're even closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the malachim.
I'm saying Hoshana Rabbah is the day that Hashem gives the whatever
final
happened,
seal.
Right?
Yeah.
Whatever happened on Hoshana is going to be given to the Malachim to be carried out.
Correct. So that doesn't mean that Hashem's not involved.
I'm not saying he's not involved. I'm saying what's the point of Malachim?
Do you understand what I'm saying? Even when Hashem has Shluchim, we as human beings, it's hard for us to process. When you send a messenger to do something for you, you cannot control what he does, because once you give it to him to do, he's doing it, not you. Because if not, if you wanted to do it yourself, you do it yourself. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a stira to send the shaliach and to be fully in charge at the same time. You understand? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness is the fact that he's able to send shluchim and still be in charge. Yes? It's a profound thought. I don't disagree. There are many aspects about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates that are beyond the scope of the human mind. How are we supposed to grasp with our finite minds an infinite being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Melechei HaMelechim? It's very, very difficult. That's why in the Torah attributes all sorts of things to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because En lo guv, en lo demut, Hashem ish milchama, Hashem ma'ay, Hashem ish milchama. Many things in the Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebe'al Peh, are attributed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because that's the case, but just in order for us to be able to perceive him better, so that's how he's described. Verstehst? Yeah, what are you saying?
I was going to say, why does Hashem use Malachim though? Anyways, he's fully in charge and he's in every detail, so why isn't he? What's the purpose of the Malachim?
Let's rephrase. Hashem doesn't need anyone or anything. Hashem is everything else in the universe needs him. and he needs nothing. And we are existent solely due to the chesed insofi, the endless love and kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way it works. So Hashem doesn't necessarily need it, but it's part of a grand scheme of things that we may not understand. Hashem has a plan for why he made everything the way it is. I don't necessarily have the answer, but Hashem does. So, let's get back into it. Hadeaga, ki yidag v'yifchad me'onish avonotav. A person should be concerned, should worry about the punishment, retribution for his sins. Ki yesh avonot she'at teshuva tola kaparatan v'yisurim emarkim. There are certain things, kmo she'ne'emar, ki avoni agid yidag mechatati. Which means there are certain things. There's a Gemara, famous Gemara, Masechet Yomad of Pevav. Not every avon is immediately forgiven with teshuvah. You know that. There are different classes of avonot. Certain avonot, yes, teshuvah is part of the process, but then suffering, yisurim, is you know, another step in order to cleanse the neshama of the sin. So you got to be scared of that. Part of what does Yirat Shamayim mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able and will mete out judgment. It's one of the 13 principles of faith, one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim of the Emunah that the Rambam brings down, that every Jew in the Hagdama of Pirkei Avot, every Jew has to believe. One of them is Ani Ma'amin BeEmunah Shlema SheHakadosh Baruch Hu Atid LeShalem Sachar Tov LaTzadikim ULa'anish LeHashem LaAtid Lavo, which means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to handsomely reward the Tzadikim and fiercely punish the Rishayim when the time comes. You can't believe in reward and not believe in punishment. You also can't believe in punishment and not reward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just. Just, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is tzaddik. Yeah, what are you asking yourself?
Is there an idea, I forget exactly where, that you can fulfill the kapara that's supposed to come to you by seeing it happen in the world and something to someone else or something happens? Or like that pacha account, where the yisurim don't necessarily have to physically happen to you?
I don't necessarily, it's not ringing a bell, the concept that you're saying. There is the Ramak in Tomer Devorah and in Sefer Elima, also explains, it's a little bit of a Kabbalistic concept, but he says that there are certain things that we do that can block, that will serve as a shield for punishment, which means that even though we deserve punishment and we deserve suffering for the avonot that we've done, there are certain things that serve to shield us, and sometimes that suffering can come about in different ways. Which means that sometimes, depending on the level of our tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu can kind of, I guess, direct the suffering that a person, instead of going through physical suffering, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give a person emotional suffering, or sometimes a person will give, Hashem will give a person shame, embarrassment, instead of physical, all sorts of things. That's why the Ramak writes in Sefer Tomer Devorah, I don't know if you ever learned it, but he says something beautiful. He says, you should always pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I deserve any punishment for my avonot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please let it be suffering that does not plague my body, and that doesn't cause bitul Torah or bitul tefillah. What's that? Shame. He says when a person gets ashamed, that's mechapir so many avonot at a time as suffering. Doesn't cost you money. Doesn't cost you health. Doesn't cost you bitul Torah. You get ashamed. But he says that's the best kind of suffering a person can get, because you don't know how many physical sufferings it can take away. Plus, it doesn't take away from your avodat Hashem. Az lama lo? Nevertheless, what do we pray every morning? We still pray that we shouldn't come to suffering, but we say, Hashem, if we need to get punished and only you know, please do it in a way. There's a word in Yiddish called shter, bother, so it doesn't infringe on my Talmud Torah and Tefillah. Now, weiter. He says, Ve'inyan yagon al she'avar. We spoke about extensively in the past few shiurim, yagon, the agony or the sorrow that a person feels, that's for the past, for what he's done in the past. The worry and the concern is a totally different component. It's talking about the future. Another thing you should be worried about besides for just Hashem's punishment, perhaps I am not doing teshuvah properly. Okay, doing tshuva, that's a wonderful thing. Doing tshuva is like a, you know, I'm a Baal Tshuva, right? That's a wonderful title, but it's a little cliche sometimes. You know, it's like saying, Chozer B'Tshuva is like Shabbat Shalom. You have to know that you're doing it properly. You know what I'm saying? Chozer B'Tshuva is a very, very hefty thing. You know, I'll prove it to you. The Gemara says about Baalei Tshuva, that's not something to be taken lightly. The Gemara says, Minkom Shebaalei Teshuva Omdin Ein Tzadikim Gumurim Mechon Menamot. The pedestal on which Ba'alei Teshuvah stand, they are higher in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than even great tzaddikim. So obviously, that level of tshuva can't just be superficial. So a person always has to be worried, maybe, just maybe, I'm not reaching the level of tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from me. Understand? And he says, "Bitzar uvimrirot uvtzom uvevechi." Maybe I'm not feeling bad enough. Maybe I'm not crying enough. You know, we spoke about this last time. A lot of people find it difficult to really muster up the courage to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to cry for their sins. Because most of us are too macho. Yeah, girls have an easier time because women are more emotional beings. But for men, it's very difficult. But if you sit down really, and David HaMelech, he writes in Tehillim how much he cried for his avonot. For the avonot that Chazal say are not avonot, how much in so many psukim teinim, crying. David HaMelech was the biggest gavra in Am Yisrael. You know what gavra means? Melech Yisrael, gibor chayil in war. You know, for lack of a better term, so macho. And yet, what do you see when it comes to avonot? David HaMelech continues to cry and always bechozek b'tshuva. So if it worked for him, I don't think anybody here is more macho than David HaMelech. You know what I'm saying? Nachon? Worked for him. V'gam, kirbatza, anybody here ever fight in a war? Anybody ever here lead a war? Anybody over here ever win a war? Be a king? Deal with Am Yisrael's issues as a shofet? David Melech Yisrael. That's him. That's what he was all about. V'gam kirbatza v'irba beche, yizchal v'ira, even when a person does feel sorrow, even when a person does cry, you should still be afraid. Maybe my sin, right? When a person sins, in general, you put all of your heart into it, all of your emotions, your excitement. Usually we do sins, lamehadrin. Yeah, when a person does averot, nobody ever does an avera b'di'avad. When people do averot, they do lechatechila. They go all out. Maybe when a person does tshuva, perhaps he had more excitement, more emotion when you did the sin than when you're doing the tshuva. It's also a problem. If you want to offset the sin, so you got to do it midah keneged midah. Just like you put all that effort, all that excitement and emotion into the avera, guess what you got to do also by the tshuva? Same amount of emotion. V'lo yishlim chuko et kol onnoto v'chasher yivke b'tzom nafsho u'mi sheyitbonen b'godel avodat habore al yitzurav. When a person really thinks how great and kind and loving and merciful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to His creations, and conversely, how terrible it is for us lowly creatures klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu to rebel. Can you imagine for a second? Lehavdil elef afei avdalot. Can you imagine, let's say you had a farmer and he planted and watered and whatever, and he has a cucumber farm. And then at the end of the season, when all the cucumbers are grown, there's a cucumber revolution against the farmer. All the cucumbers revolt against the farmer. Yeah, can you imagine that? We are less than cucumbers relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like a cucumber doesn't rebel, how can we? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us endless bounty and chassadim and Baruch Hashem. This is a generation, and I spoke about it on Thursday night. You know, the generation, I don't know about the generation before us, my father did too, but at least certainly two generations before us, they saw tzar, they saw hunger, they saw war and plague and death. And you know, my grandparents are Holocaust survivors. They saw these things. Baruch Hashem, we haven't seen hungers, and you know, COVID was a big thing for a lot of people because that's the first time they really, for many people, COVID like rocked their world because they never encountered death on such a large scale. It was a big wake-up call for a lot of people. In Israel, they're a little bit more used to it because in Israel, unfortunately, there's always, you know, tension and wars and terrorist attacks, but I mean none. So in Israel, they're a little bit more, not, I wouldn't say immune, but they grow. You ever realize they're like very, Israelis are very tense? You ever wonder why? Because they grow up in a pressure cooker. You know what I'm saying? It's always the political, socioeconomic, security climate over there is very tense. You don't have that in America, you don't have that in Canada and most other places in the world. Now in the past few years, it started getting, anti-Semitism started going off the charts, so everybody's all nervous. But, you know, this is just Jewish history 101, repeating itself again and again and again and again. And again. You know what I'm saying? And we don't even know what these things feel like. Can you imagine a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives it, Hashem gave us life on a silver platter. Every person is in this generation, I say it in my shul all the time, there's absolutely no excuse whatsoever in this generation not to learn. In previous generations, not to justify it, but people came from communist Russia, and people came from all sorts of antagonistic countries to Jews, and they were always running for their lives, and they couldn't. Okay, you know what I'm saying? They couldn't learn. They couldn't practice Torah mitzvot. I get it. Living in an America or any other civilized country in the world today, and growing up being shomer Torah mitzvot, what excuse in the world does a person have not to learn Torah on a constant basis? There are shiurim, live, recorded, internet, whatever, on any topic, in any language, any level, one-on-one, shiur style, chabur. There's just a surplus of everything. This is exactly what the Navi Yeshaya meant. Umale'a ha'aretz de'ayat Hashem. This is a generation where the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is super, super, super accessible no matter where. So what excuse do we have not to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah to HaKadosha? And the bigger the opportunity, the more opportunities we have and the more resources we have to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and learn, the greater the tvi'ah, the greater the claim of a person does not, Hashem is going to say, what are you doing? How did you not take advantage of, you had, forget about life, forget about just, you know, materialistic life. Even your spiritual life was handed to you on a silver platter. You have access to learning and to Torah, mitzvot, to tefillah, and good influences. Now, not to mitigate the amount of terrible nisyonot that we have in this generation. Just like there's tremendous exposure to Kedusha in this generation, there's also unmitigated, unprecedented exposure to the worst possible content ever. That's the, you know, this is the nisayon of the dor, that all gdolei ador have said. Nevertheless, we are expected, just like any other generation, to be able to make the choice between right and wrong, and to choose the kedusha, the tahura, over the avonot. So that's basically what we're doing here. Just to finish off the paragraph. Kol asher yosif ba'avodah uvderkei hatshuva, halo mitzar hi vehineh limat be'enav. The more a person works harder and harder and gaining levels in teshuvah and really, really focusing on it and regretting it and coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's kind of like a cycle. The more you do teshuvah, the more you focus on it, the more you realize how far we are from it. It's like that in any aspect of Avodat Hashem. You know, in Persian it's called the chubam factor. You know what chubam means? I'm good. I'm good factor. A lot of people in life have the attitude of the I'm good factor, which means sometimes you ask a person, how come, you know, why are you stagnant? Why don't you grow? Why don't you, you know, learn more, keep more, grow? You know, where life is all about growth. Why don't you? Many times people will tell you, either directly or indirectly, to back off because I'm good. Which means, whatever I have is good and I'm satisfied. You know what the farce with that is? There is no other aspect in life, at least in material life, where a person says, I'm good. When was the last time when it comes to parnasa, when it comes to earning money, buying a car, building a house, building your business, whatever it is, that the person says, I'm good, you know, I made enough parnasa for this year, you know what? I have enough to support my family for the rest of the year and send them to yeshiva and pay the tuitions, whatever. I'm taking off the rest of the year to go learn. I'm good. When was the last time a person said by parnasa, I'm good? When was the last time a person said by any creature comfort, I'm good? The korban of the I'm good is always the avodat Hashem. That's always the way it works. The yetzer hara plants that within us, that in avodat Hashem. Okay, learn a little bit, daven a little bit, Shmirat Torah mitzvot to a minimum. Yeah, you have your checklist. Everybody's got their, you know, different people have different ideas of what Shemirat Torah Mitzvot, Kashrut, Shabbat, Tarat HaMishpacha, whatever. Everybody's got their own checklists. But then the Yetzer Hara tells you, when you check off the boxes on your checklist, stop. Because you're good. Because you're a tzaddik. You don't need more. More, yes, there is more than that, but that's for big tzaddikim. You're a small tzaddik. Yeah, you don't need more. You checked off your boxes. It's so easy to tell the Yetzer Hara, you're a shah. Do you tell me to do that by my business? Do you tell me to do that by who knows what? Just think of, there's innumerable examples in life where we don't do this. We always strive for more and more and more and more and more. Why don't you tell me to stop there? Obviously, you want me to stop because, you see, I'm gaining momentum in Avodat Hashem. That is a person's Avodah in this world. And Avodah B'Zat Hashem, we'll pick it up again on Thursday afternoon. Tomorrow night is Halacha night. I don't know if we'll finish the series, but we'll continue the series of Sfaradim in an Ashkenazi world. B'Zat Hashem. Kol Tuv Rabotai, Laila Tov, huh?
What's the next part of the series?
Tfilah. B'Zat Hashem. Laila Tov, Kol Tuv. It's coming to. It's coming to.
What should we title tonight?
Shout it out.